Welcome, my boys, and welcome to part 5 on our series on cars. And we would like to discuss the Ezras Hashem, a famous but seemingly difficult to understand Gemara in Erevin that talks about the machlokes, the long standing machlokes between Hillel and Shammai. And in turn, their Talmidim, known as the Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Now, just before we even begin, perhaps we should just issue a word of caution, and that is we always have to be very careful whenever discussing Tanoim. Tanoim, who as far as we are concerned were like Malochim Mamish, and when we are discussing the Midos of Tanoim HaKadoshim, we have to be extremely careful. We're talking about people who we have no frame of reference whatsoever to understand. We have no ability whatsoever to grasp their immense spiritual stature. And therefore, when discussing them as if they were just another human being on the street, is the wrong way, obviously, to approach this. So when we talk about Hillel, and we talk about Shammai, and we talk about their midos, we are only discussing with regard to what we can learn from what Chazal teach us about them. We must not relate to them as if they were any way on a level playing field with us. After all, Shammai and Hillel, of all the Tanoim, those are the Tanoim that the Mishnah describes as a machlokes v'shem Shammayim. The Mishnah also says, what would be the classic example of machlokes v'shem Shammayim? And the Mishnah says the machlokes between Hillel and Shammai. So clearly we are talking with people of immense stature, and therefore we have to try and keep loyal to every word that Chazal teach us about them, rather than chas v'shalom viewing them with our own small, narrow perspective. Having said that, let's now turn to the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says that whilst, as we know, Shammai and Hillel, and in turn their Talmidim, the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai, had long-standing machlokesim about every issue of halacha possible. And there then came the ultimate question, which was, so who do we paskin like? The halacha, does it follow Hillel, Beis Hillel, or does it follow Shammai and his Talmidim, Beis Shammai? And who is going to be the one to make that decision? Who can possibly decide that Shammai is the MS or that Hillel is the MS? That is a decision that no mortal can possibly take. And indeed, that decision was not taken by any mortal because it came through from a bas kol. Somebody is not on mute. A bas kol came from Shammai, and the bas kol said as follows: Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elohim chayim. The very famous line. Both Hillel and Shammai, they might offer not just different, but almost opposing opinions. Absolutely the opposite. When one says chayim and one says potter, one says tomei and one says toher. One says mutter and one says osser. Those are not just different opinions, those are in fact opposite opinions. And nonetheless, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elohim chayim. Both of those are emes la'amito shofeu. Nonetheless, said the bas kol, in conclusion, v'halacha kaveitilo. Having prefaced that they are both considered emes, both Shammai and Hillel, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elohim chayim, nonetheless, halacha kaveis Hillel. With the obvious question being, if you just told me that they are both emes, then why would the halacha be like one rather than the other? What is there that you could possibly choose between two mahalchim that are both emes? By definition, if they are both divrei Elohim chayim, then one cannot be right and the other wrong. You couldn't then call them divrei Elohim chayim. So The Gemara says, the Gemara indeed asks this question. Because if indeed there are Elu Zila that came Chayim, so why were they Tinel Zoicha? So the Halacha should indeed follow them. This is indeed a question of the Gemara. And the Gemara answers a rather cryptic answer. And this is going to be the Ezes Hashem what we'll discuss for a moment or two tonight. The Gemara says the reason why the Halacha follows Beit Hillel is not because their approach is Emes and Shammai isn't, Chas v'Sholom, Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The reason why the Halacha follows the stance of Hillel and Beit Hillel is because there was something unique about Talmidim of Hillel, who obviously were following their illustrious Rebbe Hillel, Hillel al-Doki. What was that? Mifnei Shenoichin. Noichin means, if we translate literally, they were of calm nature. Va'alubin. Alubin means, which is related to being of calm nature, and that's why we're discussing this. But even if there was occasion in which they were insulted, they were not quick to respond. They just bit their tongue, as it were, and swallowed their pride and did not respond at all. They were noichin, they were of calm nature, va'alubin. They were willing to overlook their personal pride, as the Gemara calls it, v'mavir al-midayso. Says the Gemara not only that. V'shoinin divreihem v'divrei beishamai. When they would offer their opinion, they would always consider carefully the opinion of Beis Shammai as well. And not only as well, says the Gemara of the Loyoi, furthermore, they were actually makdirin divrei Beis Shammai lezivreihem. They would actually, incredibly, consider the opposing opinion before they considered their own opinion. Just stop for a moment, we know how difficult that is to relate to. If we are ever involved in an argument with somebody else, whether it be Mahalacha or in Bemili da Alma, we all think, as I think somebody wrote a book recently entitled, Everybody is Entitled to My Opinion. Everybody is entitled to my opinion. You can say whatever you like as long as you agree with me in the end. A very difficult proposition to consider carefully the opposing opinion and furthermore give it kadima. Somebody disagrees with me, let's talk about your opinion first. That undoubtedly is a great maila, is a midot toiva, which reflects in itself the great stature of Hillel and in turn of his Talmidim. So the Gemara over here, this is the end of the Gemara, has told us. Although the Bas Koil told us that Hillel and Shammai are both Divrei Elokim Chayim, but nonetheless the Halacha follows the opinion of Hillel. Why did the Halacha follow the opinion of Hillel? Because they were calm, they had that ability to overlook any personal affront, they would consider very carefully the opposing opinion, in fact, they would even give precedence to the opposing opinion. And that is the end of the Gemara. And I think that the question of this Gemara hardly needs to be enunciated. But we'll enunciate it nonetheless. Undoubtedly, these are all great midos. No question about it. To be of calm nature and to be alubin, to have that midah which you're prepared to overlook, the ma'avir al midos, unquestionably, those are terrific midos. Those are midos that clearly reflect years of avodas hamidos. No question about it. The fact that Hillel was prepared to even consider the opposing opinion, to give kadima to the opposing opinion, no shaila about it. Those are all tremendous midos. Shaila is what that got to do with being kaveya, but the halacha now becomes Halacha kebeis Hillel. Why is that a reason? What does the Bas Koil mean? Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. Both opinions of Elokim Chayim are true. Emes la'amitoi. But the halacha is like beis Hillel because of these terrific midos. Why? are these midos reasons for the halacha to follow the opinion of Hillel? That is the shaila, the obvious question which must be asked and is asked when learning this Gemara. So, as I mentioned in the introduction, we must be extremely careful over here. Not chas v'shalom to run the risk of viewing Hillel and Shammai as just two people that we would relate to as friends in the Beis HaMedrash, or that we would meet them in the street. These are Gedolei Olam, these are Tanoim Kedoshim, these are Malachim Mamish, to some extent greater than Malachim, so therefore we have to remain absolutely loyal to what Chazal teach us about these holy Tanoim with regard to what we can learn from them. But it's not for us, chas v'shalom, to make any type of character assessment, as it were, when we're talking about Malachim, talking about Gedolei Olam. Can you imagine standing at the foot of Everest, standing right at the very bottom and looking up and then offering opinions of what you think of this mountain? What do you think the top looks like? You have no asoda, you're absolutely miles away. You're a little speck of dust compared to Everest. That's the way that we must relate to Tanoim. If Chazal gave us lessons, taught us about these Tanoim, then clearly they felt there was what to learn. So that's what we must study. So this is the question that we are trying to address. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Both the opinion of Hillel and Shammai, it's not a question of emes versus sheker, they are both emes. But halacha follows Hillel because of these midos that he displayed. The middle being calm nature, overlooking any personal affront, the ability to consider the opposing opinion, even consider it first. Why are those midos necessary for the halacha to follow the opinion of Hillel? So this is a question that is posed by the Maharal, and Kedarko Bakoidesh, he explains it, and the Maral itself needs explanation. So we will try our best, again, with help from the paper, behind or Chaim Friedland. I think somebody is not muted, and it's rather disturbing. So the Maral teaches us as follows, and we will try and explain this as best we can. The Maral says that when we are asking the question, halacha kami, who does the halacha follow? Then indeed, obviously, number one prerequisite for us even to consider any opinion in halacha is that it has to be emes. If the opinion mentioned is not emes, then there's no way the halacha can follow that opinion. That is not our discussion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bas Koel, clearly told us that they are both emes. That is not the dividing factor. That is not what distinguishes Hillel from Shammai. They are both emes. I will read you the words of the Maharal. The Maharal says, this midah of Hillel that Gemara describes as being noichim, of calm nature, says the Maral, whoever is Baal Hanocha, which means he is a Baal Chesed and a Baal Midah status. If you are a Baal Hanocha, you are of calm nature, Einoi Yoitse Min HaYosher Klal. You never deviate from the straight path at all. The nishar, and you will forever remain al hashivui balance. As opposed to somebody who is not of calm nature, he will invariably be yoytzei min hashivui, he will leave the straight path and will not be remaining balanced. The Maral says as follows, and this is the way I'm presenting to you, the way of Chaim Friedlander explains the Maharal. Shammai had a midah. Shammai had a derech in avodas Hashem. His derech was validated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Divrei Elokim Chaim. Shammai's midah, if we have to sum it up in one word, was that of kapdonos. He was a captain. He was very particular. He was makpid. Hillel's midah, as the Gemara describes it, is that of being noichem, not being particular. If the question was to be asked, which is the correct mahalach in avodas Hashem, the question is invalid, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has already validated both approaches. They are both MS. They are both MS. And each one, obviously, has its milas and its chesroinim. When, however, discussing the halacha, halacha requires, as the word halacha actually translates, halacha means halicha, a straight path. When we talk about the halacha follows one opinion as opposed to the other, it does not mean which is the MS and which is not the MS. Which is the path that we consider straight and balanced? Hillel, with his midah, his derech, lent itself to halacha. And I'll give you an example, a moshul that perhaps will explain this in some small way. Imagine you have two people, very experienced drivers of a car. They both always manage to get from A to B safely. So they're both clearly good drivers. One of them happens to be an extremely speedy driver. He has the ability, the nature, he drives extremely quickly. The other drives much more slowly, more methodically. Two drivers. So if we were to ask, who is going to get you to your final destination? Who is the better driver? The answer is, they're as good as each other. Happens to be, one drives quickly, one drives slowly, both within the letter of the law. With regard to, are they both valid drivers? They are both valid drivers. There is nothing to choose between the two, as with regard to who is a more law-abiding driver. They are both law-abiding drivers. But imagine, they both now have to drive down the narrowest of narrow streets. They are driving a car which is 2 meters wide down a road which is 2 meters and 5 centimeters wide. Where would you put your money on? We would all agree I'd rather be in the car which has a slow-paced driver. Why? Because he's a better driver than the quick driver? No. But when going down a straight, narrow path, there is a particular middle which is necessary, which is displayed by the slower driver. Again, not that he's a better driver or a worse driver, but he happens to drive in a particular manner which will be therefore advantageous in this particular situation, which is driving down a very narrow, straight path. The one who drives extremely quickly has more of a chance of veering off slightly, even if it is very minimally, which will have catastrophic consequences when the street is only 5 centimeters wider than the width of the car. So when you have to ask, when you have to pick your driver, you pick the slow driver, it's not because he's a better driver. It's not because he's had more or less experience, it's not because he's more law-abiding. It's because he drives in a particular manner which is necessary in this situation. One who drives quickly is more likely to veer off slightly, and that will be dangerous. That's the moshel. The nimshal is, when it comes to halacha, the halacha, as the word translates, halacha, it's a halicha, it's a path. So when trying to decide what the halacha is, it's not a question of is it emes or not emes. Shammai's approach is emes. Hillel's approach is emes. But we're looking for the particular approach which is less likely, in the words of the Maral, to be yotzei min hayesha, to lead, to deviate from the absolute straight path. And that is the middah of Hillel. Hillel remains calm. Hillel is, in our mashal, the slow, methodical driver, as opposed to the quick driver, which is, in our mashal, in the nimshal, Shammai HaZaken. Chazal clearly tell us, by the way, that if you were measuring Chochmah, Shammai and Beis Shammai had more Chochmah than Hillel. More Chochmah Satayah. In the academy, in Yeshiva of Hillel, there were more Talmidim in Yeshiva of Hillel than that of Shammai. So each one has his relative mailas. One was sharper, and one was greater in number. That's not the distinguishing feature that will help us decide the halacha is kami. Halacha is halicha, a straight, balanced path. The more balanced of the two, if that's the correct word, and those are the words of the Maral, is the Mahalach of Hillel. Not that it's better or worse, more MS or less MS, but it's balanced. That is what halacha is all about. Says the Maral, Ulekach nikra halacha. That's why it's called halacha. Ki ha hoileich, somebody walks who hoileich b'yosha. He walks in a straight path, not veering off right or left. Now let's come back to the midos of Hillel. Hillel was calm. Hillel considered his opinion and that of the opposing opinion, which means that Shammai did not. Maybe let's bring this back to our moshe. What's the difference between the slow driver and the quick driver? The quick driver says, right, I can get from A to B in 2.5 minutes flat, off we go, turns on the engine and he's there 2.5 minutes later. The slow driver adopts a different approach. He says, my approach is always to be more methodical. I have one particular path that will take me from A to B. Perhaps I can consider a different approach as well. Instead of going right and then left, how about going left and then right? That reflective nature of being a calm driver. The speed is not the aim of the game. Again, who's a better driver? That's not a question. They're both equally good drivers. It's a question of approach. The one who is the calmer of the two says speed is not the aim of the game. It is not a race. I'm prepared to consider perhaps a different route. Perhaps that will be more scenic. Perhaps that will be more safe. The one who is a captain, sharp, I need to get from A to B as quickly as possible, that's it. The engine goes on, he's there. Hillel HaZaken was willing always to consider the approach of others who disagreed with him. In fact, he even listened to their opinion first, says the Gemara. That all reflects this nature, says the Maral, of being calm and balanced. Where speed is not the aim of the game. Kapdonos is not the aim of the game. Which is the correct approach in Avodas Hashem? They are both equally correct, as the Bas Kol announced when it emerged Min HaShamayim. But when talking about the halacha, halacha by its very nature requires a balance. Yosher, straight. And that was the middle, and that was the derech of Hillel HaZaken. That's the way the Maral explained this extremely difficult Gemara. So let's try and explain it a little bit, and how this relates to us and our Vadim on Kass. whenever two people have a disagreement, an amicable disagreement, whether it be in halacha or about current affairs, it makes no difference. And I opine in one direction and you say the opposite. Obviously, the reason why I think this way and you think differently, I'm coming from my midos, from my physical makeup, and you're coming from yours. So if there's a particular area of midos which to me is very important, that will always take on extra important weight in this particular decision. The way that you see things in life is different, because even though it's true, we all agree that whilst making a particular decision, there's factors A, B, C, and D to consider, and we'll consider them all, but your personality lends itself to homing in on A, because A is very important to you, and somebody else homes in on B. So ultimately, it's not so much a difference of opinion, it's really a difference of personality. The ultimate and the correct and the more balanced decision that can always be made is the one who is able to objectively consider A, B, C, and D with equal proportion. With equal proportion. And not to let anything, as it were, jump out of the page and take on disproportionate weight. Because there are so many factors that must go into making every decision. This is true in Gashmias and Ruchnias. And if you'll excuse me, and I do not want to be controversial over here, but I think you all know exactly what I'm referring to when I say that there are members and sects of Klal Yisrael who have taken out of proportion certain elements of the Torah. Such that one of the Gedolei Yisrael said, how unfortunate that the word Mashiach has now become a traitor word. How tragic that Eretz Yisrael has almost become a traitor word. What does that mean? That means that while there is a chiyuv gomor, an imamim be'emuna shalem of a biyat ha-Moshiach, but the moment that that takes on epic proportion and everything else pales into significance, then yes, indeed, it becomes truth. If Eretz Yisrael, as important as it is, becomes the number one and number two and number three all the way down to 613, and everything else becomes of secondary importance, then by giving it disproportionate weight, then indeed it's being grossly misconsidered, and that indeed is extremely dangerous. You know, the Rambam is of the opinion, whether this is halacha l'maaseh, the discussion for another day, but the Rambam is of the opinion that when the Baal Kairi reads the Aseres HaDibrei, not just you do not need to stand up, you may not stand up. It is possible to stand for the Aseret HaDibrei. And the Rambam explains, because the Aseret HaDibrei, as important as they are, can never be viewed outside of the realms of Tariyag Mitzvah. And by standing up for them, you are, as it were, segregating. There's 10 mitzvahs plus another 500, 603. There isn't. There's Tariyag Mitzvah. I think many years ago I once heard from Rav Zeid Lev, Rashi al-Aseira said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially said all of the Aseret HaDibrei is Bevat Achat. In one go, as Rashi said, something that a human being cannot do, cannot speak that way, and cannot hear. And the question is obviously, well, what's the point then? And he explained so magnificently that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to clearly transmit this lesson. It's all got to be said simultaneously. There's no number one important, followed by number two, and then trailing in a distant third and fourth. And if I'm not mistaken, I heard from Reb Lev in that very discussion that in the United States of America, after the war, as we well know, there were many who struggled with Dinyan of Shmira Shabbos. There was a tremendous nistoyan of Parnasa. And an organization was tried to be established, something to the effect of Torah v'Shmira Shabbos. With all the great and pure intentions of the world, and Gedolei Yisrael vetoed it. How can you veto it? What could be greater and more noble aspiration than to mechazek Shabbos? And they said, there's nothing wrong with the aspiration, but the definition is traitor. You cannot have an organization called Torah v'Shmira Shabbos. Shabbos is indeed the Yisoida, the Muna, etc., etc., but it can never be taken out of the realms of Torah. There's no such thing as Torah v'Shabbos. You can have an organization called Chizuk v'Shmira Shabbos, that's a wonderful thing, but don't call it Torah v'Shabbos. This is a tremendous lesson in general, but with regard to our subject. When making a balanced decision, the inability to do so comes from the fact that we give disproportionate weight to one of the factors. And that therefore becomes the deciding factor such that nothing else is important. As I mentioned, if Mashiach, if Eretz Yisrael or Shabbos suddenly becomes my only focus and everything else becomes of secondary importance, then you're running a very, very dangerous tightrope. What Chazal HaKadoshim are teaching us is that Hillel, who had the middle of being noichin va'aluvin. What does that mean to be aluvin? When somebody is insulted or upset, he doesn't respond. He's prepared to overlook it. What does that mean? Does that simply mean because he's a nice guy? What it means is he's able to pause and see the broader picture. Rather than home in onto one particular factor, which is my ego at this particular moment has been affronted. If you look at things like that, then automatically you'll respond. But if you're able just to, as we once said, pause, count to 10, and see the broader picture, then all of a sudden we see that what seems to be blown up in front of our eyes is, albeit a factor, but not necessarily the only factor. There are other important criteria in this decision. And I might therefore, if I only home in on this and respond accordingly, I might well end up regretting my response. And therefore, when deciding what the halacha is, not what the MS is, when deciding what the halacha is halicha, a path, a straight, balanced path, then the halacha has to follow the middah of Hillel. Hillel was prepared to consider all factors. His opinion, the opposing opinion. He gave kedima to the opposing opinion. He was of calm nature. If somebody insulted him, he was able to remain calm. We all know all the stories in the Gemara and Shabbos, where they tested Hillel at the most busy moments of the week with the most ridiculous questions. And he was able to remain calm in all situations. That is the necessary middah in order to tasken the halacha. Just like the balanced, slower driver is the one you'd want to travel with while driving along a very narrow road at the side of a cliff. Not that he's a better or worse driver, but his particular maira is necessary in this situation. As we mentioned, Shammai's approach is a derech emes. Eilu ve'eilu divrei elekim chayim. It was a middah of kapdonos. Kapdonos means to be very particular, sharp. There is an expression in the Gemara that you sometimes find, agav churvei lo yidok. Because of his great sharpness, he wasn't indeed accurate. That can happen. Not that necessarily chas v'sholem And as we mentioned, we have to be so careful. Not that Chafashon Shammai was ever guilty of this, but when deciding the halacha, we cannot adopt the sharp, quote-unquote, approach. It's too dangerous. We're running a tightrope over here. We're running a tightrope. The tightrope is called halacha, halicha, straight and narrow path. Somebody runs with a midos of kapdomus, that is an approach. That is an approach, and it's a valid approach as well. One has to be aware of the pitfalls. One has to be aware that you're running a tightrope, and a slip up to the right or left can be critically dangerous. So in conclusion, how does this relate to us? What this relates to us is, when we are working on the Midah of Kaas, Kaas is perhaps such a wonderful example of the Hatzlacha. In the Midah of Kaas is not at the time that somebody insults you or trod on your toes. If you ever see somebody tread on somebody else's toe, he's yelping in agony, I don't quite think that's the moment to give him a lesson in Kaas or Ashkocha Protis. All that work has to be done before you get to the test. Before you get to the test. We once spoke about this ability, which needs work, of just remaining calm to count to 10. This relates to what we're talking about today. To be noyachin, to be aluvin, to be able to consider all factors on the table and not to home in just what I see absolutely in front of my nose at the time, that is the balanced approach. That is the halacha. We paskin like Beis Sinner. All that work has to go in before the big moment arrives when we truly test it. And let me just conclude with the most incredible story. I think it's a well-known story, but you have to understand the story. Because I think it's well-known. Rav Moshe Feinstein was once sitting in a car. Somebody gave him a ride. He entered the car and somebody closed the door. There was another passenger in the car as well, the one who, in fact, was the one who closed the door. He then entered on the other side. And when this passenger left the car at a later stage in the journey, Rav Moshe Feinstein asked the driver, do me a favor, quickly, drive round the corner. And he drove round the corner and he said to the driver, please open the door that this person who has just now left the car, he closed, because he actually closed it on my finger. He didn't want to embarrass this person, so instead of yelping out or saying anything, he didn't say anything at the time. In fact, he waited till this person left the car. They drove round the corner. Eventually, the door was opened, and Ramesha was then taken to hospital to deal with his fingers, which had a door, car door closed on them. What's the gadlus of this story? The gadlus of this story is that Ramesha Feinstein didn't react. That's not the gadlus of the story. The gadlus of this story is that Rav Moshe worked on himself 50 years before this story, so that when the car door closed, he didn't decide not to react. But his midos were such that he did not react. Rav Moshe Feinstein did not make a conscious decision, I will hereby decide not to cry out in pain. When someone steps on your toe, or closes the door on your fingers, it is a natural reaction. So the gadlus of the story is not the fact that he didn't react. The gadlus of the story is what enabled him not to react. And the answer is a lifetime of avodah zarah. Such that when the moment of pain arrived, he was in total control, albeit in absolute agony, but he was in total control to be able not to react. That's the gadlus of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And this is true with all avodas hamidos, but perhaps especially so with the midah of kaas. The way to be matriach be'ezras Hashem while tackling kaas is not at the moment that we are upset. It's not at the time that things don't quite work out the way we wanted to. If we begin working on it then, it's all too late. This avoda of trying to remain calm, this avoda of being balanced, and as we explained, the way to do so is by trying to consider all factors and not letting one's own personality blow in out of proportion some of the factors whilst making a decision. That's the avoda in remaining calm. But that's the avoda that needs to be performed again and again before the great test comes along. And therefore, back to where we started. This is not chas v'shalom, a character assessment of Shammai or Hillel, who are too great for us to even talk about or have any hasogah in. But Chazal HaKadoshim are teaching us that when it comes to the halacha, not the emes, the halacha, I would like to be in that calm who has a calm driver. He's willing to consider other approaches. He's willing to be mevater on speed for the sake of driving in a straight line slowly. That's a safer option if I'm trying to drive indeed along a very narrow path. And that's what halacha is all about. That is the limbo that Chazal are teaching us. Halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. It's true. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. They are both emes la'amitai. And in fact, the Vilna Goyen says, and this is not our discussion, but when Mashiach comes, we will actually adopt the opinion of Shammai, which just proves that obviously it's emes. There will be a different hamhoga when Mashiach comes. But in the world that we live in, says Chazal, as the way the Maral explained it, the world that we live in is the world of halacha, and that is of being balanced and calm. May it be the rots of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is the chus of the very fact that we come together once a week. That is itself an expression to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how important this idea, this concept of Avodas Amidas is. So we hope to pursue the Shmaya so that when the difficult test comes along, we will be able, the Ezra Hashem, to be able to the historian, Amen, the King of Israel.